And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 272. It's a Fab preview evening, week 24 Fab, as we trickle down to the final weeks of the fantasy baseball season. We'll have you covered with everything you need to know as of Thursday evening for that and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
I am fantastic. I'm pumped for this upcoming weekend. I know we're a baseball show, but our other love is college football. And in a mere few hours, by the time this is out, I will be on a plane to Atlanta, Georgia, to watch my beloved Virginia Tech Hokies on Sunday. So I can't wait to just take in the whole weekend. Me and my best friend, we do a college football trip every year, once a weekend every year. And this is the date and the game we pick. So I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. We're recording an hour early, so thank you, Bubba. I get an extra hour of sleep before I wake up at the butt crack of dawn, but pretty stoked. Pretty stoked.
Yep, I'm jealous. Me and my buddies used to do a football weekend. It's been 5-6 years since that's happened. Those are awesome weekends. We used to do golf, football, bars, yeah. You name it, the whole shenanigans. As you get older, it's tougher, but it's an awesome weekend.
I was just going to say, I'm just glad we skipped it during, I think, 2 years during COVID, but it's so easy to let that stuff slip, you know, it's just like, I'm too busy this year or whatever. We just had kids, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, very, very happy we kept that tradition going. And we're somewhat in the clear now that we both have kids that are no longer by age toddlers.
Yeah, behavior not diapers different. Anymore, basically. Changes exactly. Everything.
So we made it through the hard part, and tradition should hopefully keep on going.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing what you pick next year. See, I traded in my football trip for FPAS. Speaking of FPAS, it's coming up, Ryan. It's just right around the corner there. For those that don't know, it's in early November. Let Ryan give the full spiel here. That's the first weekend in November. We golf for the Bubba and Blue Invitational. Tons of great stuff. So I'll let Ryan kick it off there, but we have some great news potentially that Ryan's going to slip in there as well.
What a setup. Now, stoked this year. We are going to be doing a live podcast. We've done a live pod there for quite a bit, last few years now. Yeah. Last 3 years in the podcast room. This year we're upgrading to the main ballroom. We're actually going to record a live show in the main room at First Pitch Arizona sometime on Friday afternoon, which really stoked about. Appreciate Brent and Ray for giving us the opportunity to do that. But yeah, we will be in the, you know, kind of on the main stage, won't be a side thing or anything like that on Friday. So hopefully we'll get kind of a bunch of new eyes and ears to the show and keep trying to grow this thing. So I'm pretty stoked for that. It's going to be a ton of fun being in the big ballroom.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Rates and Barrels had theirs in their last year. They'll have theirs again. Yep. There'll be us and one other show. I'll let them explain that when they get the opportunity to do so. I won't throw that bomb out there, but there'll be three shows on the main stage, and then they'll and no Mercedes at all, just the main stage, and then there'll be the main podcast room, because maybe even more podcasts this year is what it sounds like. So there's more signups than ever, so it looks like it's just going to be a very, very big, huge FPAS this year, and they're finding ways to spread us all out so we all get our fix, all the patrons get their fix, so on and so forth. So it's pretty awesome. We're very, very, I guess, humbled is the word I thought of, that we are getting offered the opportunity to join, go out front. And it won't be an evening show. It'll be a daytime show. So everybody can enjoy their evening. We might have more plans there, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, it does kind of free us up. The side benefit, too, is it does free us up Friday evening to probably, that's probably when we'll try and do some type of Bubba and the Bloom listener Patreon meetup at some point Friday night, somewhere either at a game or wherever. We'll figure it out. But yeah, the last 3 years it's been at night. It's been a ton of fun at night, but being on the main stage will be a ton of fun too. So yeah, the whole weekend's going to be great. I know we've talked about it a ton, so we won't go through it all again, but we got a couple of new signups for golf on Thursday. We're up to five full groups out of the seven I've reserved. So we've got a few more to go, but if you're interested, live in Phoenix, want to play golf on Thursday, hit us up and or hit up the podcast too at BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. I keep forgetting not everyone is on social media these days, so you can contact us there, BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com as well.
Yep, it's that Thursday at Dobson Ranch.
So November 6th. Yep.
November 6th. So, yes, it's going to be awesome. It's just not that far away anymore, folks. So come join the fun on that one, and we'll see where it goes. It's going to be another great weekend in the desert. All right, let's get some news before we get into the Fab, Ryan. We'll kick it off with Trevor Megill. Heads to the IL with a grade one flexor strain. At first, I thought the world was ending because that's my top three pitchers picked in the 2026 meatball draft. Dead. But, you know, Wheeler could be back sometime next year.
How many pitchers did you take in the, like, is there another, is there like a fourth pitcher that's just like, well, scary?
Hurston Waldrip. Pray for him.
That's right. Waldrip last round.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see where this goes. But Miguel said he's had worse before and he expects to be back this season. Like, he's all, this one doesn't bug me as much as other ones. Again, you know, that's a player saying that. We'll see how it goes. With him out, it feels like it's Abner Ribas time. Shelby Miller's got some love. What's your thoughts on this one? Because we only have like four more weeks to go in Fab. So it's like the question of holding Megill or not.
That's the tricky part. Like, I agree. I do think it will be Abner Uribe. He got the save on Monday and has just pitched really well this season. So, I mean, that's easy to sit here and say Abner Uribe is the pickup. He's got over a 20% K minus walks, up to ERA, yada, yada. But from an actual, like, you're sitting there on Sunday. God, Fab on Sunday is going to be ridiculous for me. But you're sitting there on Sunday, you have Megill. It's like, I'll throw this back to you because I don't know yet. Do you drop Megill for Uribe?
I think you do, just because
tough.
It's at worst, or at best, he's out 2 out of 4 weeks, half the way. It could need a rehab. Now we're talking 3 out of 4. Yeah. That's 2 to 3 weeks of Uribe closing games for the best team in the National League. So I think you have to take your chances there. It's very tough. It's one of those that's going to be, if we find out he's going to be back with no rehab stint by the end of next week or something, whatever it is, that's going to really suck. Yeah. But that's kind of the still game feels, you have to play.
Yeah, it's the percentage game, right? I still feel like that's a low percentage.
And they want him back for the postseason, so I don't think they rush him back. So I feel like Uribe is the guy. You drop Megill, you go get Uribe and see where it goes.
Okay. I think I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Lubob, he's made it this far, Ryan. He made it this far. He's had little, you know, dinks and dunks, little pains here and there. But here we go. Luis Robert Jr., grade 2 hamstring injury on the IL. Pretty much locks up the rest of his season. Grade 2 is usually 4 to 6 weeks against the White Sox. Why bring him back? They couldn't even trade him, for crying out loud. Having a phenomenal season. But Lubob is Dunsky.
Yeah, Lubob is done. We were just talking him up on the Tuesday show. As in the second half, Lubob had over a 300 batting average, seemed to be turning things around, but that's an easy drop. We've also talked about Brooks Baldwin a little bit, either on previous Fab shows or, I mean, it must have been previous Fab shows. This guy's not showing up on many Bloom boards, but it's just another one less obstacle for Brooks Baldwin to get everyday playing time. I think it is a 15-team league play, but Brooks Baldwin's hitting very well right now. He qualifies like everywhere, so you can be a little bit more confident in a deep league ad for Baldwin, because I think that last variable, the playing time, is probably there now.
Yep, agreed. Baldwin becomes interesting all of a sudden, which didn't think we, like you said, we'd say. We did mention him on last week's Fab as a deep league option, but the at-bats could be there regularly at this point in time. Corey Seager, you know, this guy, I tell you what, it's usually soft tissue injuries. Well, there's a tissue injury that's hurting right now. He's got one less tissue, technically, and that's an appendix is gone from Corey Seager. He had emergency appendectomy on Thursday, which puts him on the IL with an undisclosed timeline to return. He's done, folks. And they called up some guy named Dylan Moore.
Let's go.
From AAA, who they just signed as the Mariners just DFA'd him. So Ryan's having a total case, like, just change of emotions in like a 72-hour window. But Corey Seager, I'd be shocked if we see him the rest of this season.
Right. Yeah, I think we're calling it a season on Seager. He will end up with a .271 batting average, 21 homers, 3 steals. It's the most he's had since 2022. But yeah, another disappointing season. How many games? I don't know. 445 plate appearances, so not many games. Has only had one season over 550 plate appearances since 2017, Corey Seager. So
102 games, 102, the lowest since 2021.
Yeah. I can sit here and joke about Dylan Moore. All roads lead to Dylan Moore eventually. That's just life advice, but don't think I'm adding Dylan Moore. Even me, I don't think I'm adding Dylan Moore. Yeah, I don't even know if he's the direct fill-in. Like who plays shortstop now? I don't know.
You're gonna have Josh H. Smith because he was filling in pretty regularly for him for Corey Seager at one point in time. You got Zeke Duran playing a ton these days as well, hitting for average, not doing a whole lot else. So I got to foresee Josh Smith going there. Ezekiel Duran should be in play. They have guys like Justin Foscue that could get in the mix from the minor leagues. They have Cody Freeman up. It's a mess in Texas is the best way I could put it. So don't think Dylan Moore can't get playing time, which is nuts to try to imagine with this team. But the shortstop fill-in should be Josh H. Smith is the way I foresee that one coming, because the Rangers had the day off today, so they'll announce they announced Dylan Moore as the replacement, but we'll have a lineup to actually diagnose things on Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I cover these guys pretty much weekly, and their minor league is getting just depleted this season. So they're running out of options right now, obvious by Dylan Moore.
And which makes Texas a very much a stream against team. Like, we are looking at opposing starters who are facing Texas. And like,
they did just put up 20 runs against the Anaheim, though. Jack Kolanowicz and company.
I know. Jock's been hot a little bit. Like, Adelise is back and has been hot a little bit, but I know you're joking, but like Ryan Nelson, it's next week. It's Ryan Nelson, Nabil Crismat. I would not go there against Texas. Zach Gallen, Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, as of now, are the kind of starters who line up against Texas next week. And I don't know. Texas lineup looks pretty rough.
For our Crismat joking, I will say he's gone 5 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks in Coors, and then 4 innings, no runs, 4 Ks against the Reds at home. So he might be worth a stream when all things are said and done.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Wow. Like, we kid about Seager always hurt. We kid about Lubob always hurt. Francisco Alvarez. He had the messed up thumb ligament. He's going to play through it, have surgery in the offseason. Great team player. Out on a rehab assignment. Hit by pitch in the hand. Has a fractured pinky. The Mets are hoping to have him back by the end of the season.
Just throwing that out there. Like, when I fired up this doc, because you do all the news items for it, I thought this was like last week's. Because I was like, wasn't Francisco Alvarez already injured? And you're like, yeah, it was on a rehab assignment this time. So, not great. Guy can't catch a break. I don't even know. Like, I don't know. Whole side conversation. Does this make Francisco Alvarez injury prone? I mean, he got hit in the hand. Like, or is it just a string of multiple bad luck situations all at once? I think it's the latter, but it's just wild what Francisco Alvarez is going through.
It's the latter, and it also puts into context. And we've said it before. Look at William Contreras this year. Catchers are subject to nasty injuries. Now, given Alvarez was hit by a pitch, that could happen. There's been a lot of that period this season, which is kind of crazy. But just a lot of these kind of weird injuries can add up throughout a season for catchers. And something to factor in, like when we say take catchers early, there's a big risk for this obvious reason. Pavin Smith, he'll go back on the IL on Friday with a quad injury. He left Wednesday's game. They have no corresponding move because they're off on Thursday, the D-backs, that is. But Smith will go back to the IL. We kind of talked last week with the Rangers, or the D-backs, having a lot of right-handed pitchers, that Smith still wasn't probably a target except deeper leagues. Well, now you don't have to worry about him at all.
Like, do we think Tyler Locklear comes back to being an everyday player? He's been a short side platooner. I would think Arizona will try and give him some run and play first and see what they have, but I don't know.
He was getting run before Pavin Smith came back.
Right.
So I'm hoping they go back to that situation. That'd be ideal. But, yeah, he's only played in 2 of the last 3 lefties. He sat versus all the righties. They had Pavin Smith play against the lefty. Like, they're looking ready to get rid of Locklear for good, it looked like, for a second there. So I guess see how the weekend plays out. But on paper, Locklear should get back into some regular roles.
Why don't these guys play Adrian Del Castillo?
Don't get me started on that one. That's
what I'm trying to do. I'm going at a different path. It's not Bob Melvin this time. It's Adrian Del
Castillo. Giants just swept the Cubs, so... Yeah. Not because of him, but they swept the Cubs. So, yeah.
Despite Bob,
you know, Adames and Chapman going nuclear helps a lot on that one. Jameson Taillon, he went to the IL with a groin injury. So he's back back down on the aisle for the third time this season. Javier Saad was recalled from AAA. Wanted to bring that name up to on the show real quick for you. You want to tilt me, I'll tilt you. So I got nothing here. You know, it is what it is. But Taillon back on the aisle, and that one stings because I mentioned on the show with Ben this week, I was busy with my daughter, and I had a $2 bid in on Taillon, and I got Taillon for $2, and I was wondering why, and that's why.
That's rough. I mean, $2, whatever, but still, it's a dead roster spot for a week. Would it shock you for me if I told you it's just 14 innings, but Javier Fassad has a 3.86 ERA and a FIP near 5?
That's what he does. That's what he does. He it's why it is the Fassad, right? So, and you could roll this out. That's just the crazy part about it. I wouldn't, but it's worked for the last couple of years.
I know. It's and Assad goes at Coors, but gets a Colorado team that's straight awful against righties, and then Washington next week. It's not the worst stream in the world, I guess.
Nah, if it's a deep league, if you're looking for wins, it's on the table. You're not gonna get much else. You might get the ratios like we discussed, but if you're looking for wins, he's a discussion point for sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2025, Ryan.
I mean, I can't fathom I can't go for Assad just out of principle, but I am trying to be, you know, fair and unbalanced in my coverage.
You should fab him in your dominating labor league and see how that goes for your ratios.
I need to protect ratios there. So okay, that's a no go.
Victor Caratini goes to the concussion IL after he was hitting the dome. So he's on the 7-day. Salazar was called up from AAA. He's been starting to catch the last few days because Yainer Diaz is day-to-day with an injured wrist from a hit-by-pitch. Yainer Diaz is expected back this week, and he's missed the last two games. But just something to think about. Salazar's catching, Caratini, IL, Diaz hopefully back any day.
And is Salazar worth anything? I'm looking at his minor league numbers. 105 WRC plus at AAA this year, so league average, hitting .231, 5 homers, 144 plate appearances, so that's a big no.
And that'll do the news. Let's get into the week 24 fab, Ryan. 4 weeks to go. All the fun stuff and things. When we initially looked this week, what stands out to you on our team-by-team schedule?
All right. Big thing that stands out, your Rays are home for 7 games, all at home for 7. And 6 of them are against right-handed. 6 of those games are against right-handed pitching. So really nice week for Tampa Bay Rays lefties, either for fab or just start sit. Let's go down to Cincinnati. They are all at home. So Great American Small Park gets 6 games. Cincinnati gets Toronto and the Mets at home. Not many 7-game weeks this week. The aforementioned Rays, White Sox, Guardians, Twins, Astros, and Angels are at 7. Nobody has 5. And everyone else is at 6. The Rockies are at home for 6 games as well. Yep. So, and they get a pretty decent, marginal schedule in terms of opponent quality.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad, but good looking schedule. No 5 games again. So we keep that streak rolling, which is always nice. Lots of baseball to be had. A lot of Monday holiday baseball. So that means Thursday is going to be a quiet day around the diamond. Just keep that one in mind right now as you try to plan ahead for that one. All right, let's go team.
Real quick. Yeah, A's are on the road for
every other week.
All week. Yep.
Every other week. Just it's clockwork. Got to get the River Cats back in town. So Bryce Eldridge, who had a 470-foot bomb.
I saw that. I saw that.
23rd of the year.
Do you think, do they call him up?
Nah, they don't need. Like, honestly, I'm at the point now where it's, I'd love to see him play at this point. I'd love to see him play, but they've said after the AAA season's over, season's pretty much done.
Okay.
We'll see. Melvin's an idiot, so maybe he'll come up and he's just lying to us, but yeah, we'll see. All right. Let's kick things off here. Baltimore Orioles, they have 6 games this week, 3 at San Diego, 3 at home against the Dodgers. They have the cream of the crop in the NL West this week. Bodes well for a team that's tanking. 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Baltimore Orioles in a pretty challenging week here. What stands out to you?
Pretty tough week. What's his name? Jeremiah Jackson. been getting some run and hitting second. I still don't really like the skill profile or the long-term ceiling, but he's decent in AAA this season. Most importantly, for whatever reason, he's hitting second every single day against lefties and righties for the Orioles, and that almost by default makes Jeremiah Jackson at least worth looking at in 15s. I don't know, maybe you're higher on the actual talent, but the playing time is absolutely there, and that means a ton right now.
Yeah, no, the playing time's there, hitting second. The dude, he's only got the one homer, like you're talking about the skills, but .329 batting average, so we like that, which is great. He's outfield in the NFBC, but I'm trying to pull it up right now because he played his fourth game today at third base, so he still has a ways to go there. But he's playing a lot. Like you said, playing time is king right now, especially in deeper leagues and 12-teamers. Not as excited there, but I do like what we're seeing there from Jeremiah Jackson. Mitch D says Jackson homered in the chat. That was Alex Jackson, their backup catcher, that homered today off of Garrett Crochet. Different Jackson, same probably skill set. But yeah, so don't mind Jeremiah Jackson, but not a whole lot.
Maybe there. I'm a little too hard. Like AAA, he had 11 homers, 9 steals, and 171 plate appearances. Really good K rate, and 11% barrel. Maybe I'm being too hard on him, but I don't know. He's fine pickup, I guess, for 15s. I still wouldn't go there in 12s.
Yeah, on my 12s, he was like near the bottom of my waterfalls, just in case I couldn't get anything. But not a must, but he's a guy that could definitely fill in because, again, playing every single day. I did want to make a note here. It'll be coming out in the Patreon news and notes Thursday evening. Tyler Wells is expected back from the IL next week. The Orioles have come out and said they're going to go 6-man rotation because they're going to bring Tyler Wells back after the first when the rosters expand. So they're going to go 6-man rotation with Trevor Rogers, Sugano, Bradish, Povich, Kramer, and Tyler Wells. So your 2 start options are going to dwindle quickly in Baltimore. Keep that in mind. And Kyle Bradish is a good pickup this week because he wasn't owned in the NFC.
Oh, really? So he's going to go for a ton.
This week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to go for a ton.
Yep. Well, whatever a ton's left, that is true. There was more people had more than I thought this past week for Bieber and company. So maybe someone else is hiding that wants Kyle Bradish for 4 starts to see where that goes. I'd be interested in him, but don't break the bank on Kyle Bradish. That's all I'll say.
Really? Okay.
No, I like him, but he's only going to get there's no 2 starts at all. They're still going to be careful with him. I love the upside. I really, really do. But I'm also kind of being, I don't know, I'm being cautiously optimistic. He is set for a 2, or no, see, it's just a 1 step because of the expanded rosters. So,
yep, 6 man.
It'd be San Diego this week, Pittsburgh next week. Like, he's a good arm, but it just makes things challenging. All right, let's go to the Boston Red Sox. They have 6 games this week, 3 at Cleveland, 3 at Arizona, 3 lefties, 3 righties, and that just puts a gigantic damper on things. Before you get to players, Willy Abreu is rehabbing. He's expected back next week.
Okay. I don't have much on the Red Sox lineup. You know, my guy David Hamilton's having himself a nice week, Bubba.
Not bad. Not bad. Hey, I don't know if you read the stuff I write on the Patreon. I did put him in the Fab article this week.
I did notice that. I was proud that I rubbed off on you there. But you can't do David Hamilton, I don't think, this week. It's a split schedule, so it's 3 lefties, 3 righties. So it's tough to do that, even though Hamilton did start against one out of the last. Well, he's only started one of the last 3 against lefties. Yeah, that's a tough go. I think I was watching the game today, Thursday. The password got his first hit, but has started 2 games in 6. So can't really do that. We need to talk about, and apologies if I pronounce his last name incorrectly, Peyton Tolley is being called up.
Dude.
And I don't know much about him. I see his numbers and like, holy hell. I see a picture of the guy and I'm like, hell yeah.
Yes. Did you see Martin Sikulski's comparison to him in the Discord?
I did. This is why we love our Discord, folks.
Yes.
they understand us. That even up Peyton Tolley's.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, standing. So I don't know, man. I mean, just to put some kind of some numbers behind this. So Tolley is, or some context, I guess. Tolley is scheduled to start on Saturday.
No, Friday.
Make his debut.
Dustin May got Friday? Pushed back to Saturday. He's been, yeah. Okay. By the time this show comes out, Friday evening, Tolle should be making his MLB debut against the Pirates.
Okay. Super fast riser, started in high A this season and ended up in AAA, and obviously now in the majors, but just two starts in AAA. But dude, it's a 30% K minus walk in the minors. It's almost a 40% strikeout rate. It's a lefty. Like, the scouting reports, the prospect guys really love this guy. So, you know, I kind of just have to go off that and the numbers that I see in our minor league leaderboards, and it all checks out. Do you think he has a spot in the rotation going forward, or is this temporary? Dick Fitz is on the IL. That's what's opening this spot up, right?
It's funny. He jumps Kyle Harrison.
I know.
It's even funnier. I'm just like, yep. It's just not meant to be. I think they're going to give him a few chances. Let's put it that way. It's tough to tell what they want to do because they've had chances to bring multiple guys up and they keep going with Dick Fitz, and now they can't because it's broken. But the kid looks good. He's got a heck of a lip rug. Like, it's amazing. He's a big, beefy lefty. Like, everything, like you said, we love on this show. He fits the mold. Like, I want a jersey right now of this man. he looks great. And if I had time, didn't have my daughter tomorrow night, I would play back live this one just to have some fun with it. But, yeah, I think they let him stick unless it's a really bad Friday night. He's their number two prospect. So the fact they're bringing him up for this action, they're bringing him up before September 1st, which – yep. Usually it's a cutoff for other things. Like, I think they're giving him a whirl here to finish out the season.
And the double-edged sword is everyone will get this look Friday night before Fab. So if Tolle pitches well, Fab price is going to be quite hefty. If he doesn't, price is going to be low. So it's just the name of the game. Peyton Tolle or Kyle Bradish Sunday? Assuming Tolle looks fine on Friday.
If Tolle looks fine and we know he's in the rotation, I'll take Tolle.
Okay. All
right. And the other thing I'll throw out there just for some comedic relief is I heard they're gonna start making Super Troopers 3. Tolle looks like he should be in the crew. Like, should be
the first part of that true. They're actually making a Super Troopers.
I saw a post on that, and that brings back memories, like my college days when Super Trooper 1s came out. Coming back from the bar almost every evening, we watched that thing and woke up to the car crash scene over and over again. It was awesome memories.
Jesus.
Yep. All right, New York Yankees, 6 games this week: 3 at Houston, 3 versus the Toronto Blue Jays. 1 lefty, 5 righties. Trent Grissom hit his 27th home run of the season tonight, which is ridiculous because we keep saying, don't play him, play Jason Dominguez. And yeah, I guess I'm wrong on that one. But what do you like here on a team that just, you know, they're pretty much the same guys now?
Same guys. I don't really have much, honestly. Like, you can't do Dominguez, can't do Goldschmidt. Grisham's widely rostered, so I don't really have much for the Yankees this week.
Neither do I. Pitching's pretty much business as usual, so I got nothing on the Yanks, weirdly enough. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games this week, all at home, as you mentioned. 1 lefty, 6 righties. Oh, boy. Is it Bob Seymour time?
Yeah, so we could go with state employee Bob Seymour this week. I like that a lot as the hefty lefty getting 6 righties at home. So that's a very decent corner infield stream. And then I like Jake Mangum as well, who should play a bunch, hits kind of 6th-ish against righties. But again, all at home 6 times, you got to like that. So Mangum and Big Bob Seymour are good picks this week.
So we're getting Mangum style out there. I like the sound of that one, because yeah, no Hunter Fiducia at catcher for you. He'll play every day. No,
I mean, you're the catcher guy.
Doesn't do it. No,
I don't want to overstep.
No, it's just that's at bats. That's all that is. Might be bad at bats. Ian Seymour, if he sticks in the rotation, are we jumping on the train? It'll be his first, his first starts in Tampa. He went 5 innings, no runs, 8 Ks in Cleveland this last go around. He's been primarily out of the bullpen as a long man, but they've been stretching him out. Is this any of interest to you?
Of course it is. Virginia Tech?
Oh, my God.
Seymour. Yes, it is. And even being unbiased about that, Seymour has looked really good. Like you said, his last start out, ton of Ks. You like that. Hasn't thrown 70 pitches yet in a major league outing yet. He's been in the 60s a couple times, so you need to look out for that. But yeah, I think Ian Seymour is a nice 15 team pickup. I'd put him below Bradish and Toley. But yeah, Seymour, I think it's going to have a spot. And as he continues to get stretched out, if he displays the skills he's been showing, it could be pretty good.
Agreed. I just want to shout out Drew Rasmussen, who I wrote up a couple days ago for matchups. In his last 9 starts, Ryan, it's been 2 earned runs or less in every single start. Dude has a 2.34 ERA. It's pretty impressive what he's put together. I just want to shout him out. And a 20% K to walk is. It looked like things were kind of rough there for a second. He had those like couple starts off. Things have been pretty good since.
Gonna say, and he's still going, and it's almost September and still looking good. Yep.
Wanted to shout that one out on Rasmussen being a beast right now. Toronto Blue Jays, they have 6 games this week on the road. 3 in Great American Small Park, that's a plus. Then 3 in the Bronx, which kind of could be a plus if you're a lefty. So not a bad week to be a Toronto Blue Jay bat. It's 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Jays. But for the most part, business as usual.
Yeah, mostly business as usual. Andrés Giménez is still only 40% owned in 12-teamers. I thought that would be a little bit higher, but I don't know if Andrés Giménez is going to play against lefties either. So you may only get 4 starts out of Andrés, but he's hitting very well, albeit at the bottom of the Blue Jays order. I mean, there's no reason to put him at the top because, good God, George Springer is an absolute monster up there. But yeah, I like Andrés Giménez as a middle infield pickup and just kind of hope he starts against lefties. But it probably won't. It'd probably be Davis Schneider, but we'll see.
Schneider's swinging it well, too. Had a couple dongs the other night. I want to shout out my boy Ernie Clement. Dude's a warrior.
He's hurt, isn't he? Playing hurt.
He's playing hurt. He had stitches in his shin from getting spiked and has a fractured finger. And he's still playing. Just want to throw that out there. Dude's a beast. He's got that dog in him. So, Ernie Clement season. I will say Nathan Lucas, even though it's 2 lefties and 4 righties, it's 2 lefties in Great American, 2 lefties in the Bronx. Probably still worth a stream in a lot of formats right now if you need a little fifth outfielder action there. Chicago White Sox, 7 games this week, 4 at the Twins, 3 at the Detroit Tigers, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the powerful Chicago White Sox. You mentioned Brooks Baldwin earlier. That should get some love. What else stands out to you? Colton Montgomery's banged up, and he's going to try to play through the side injury.
Yeah, terrible timing on the Colson Montgomery thing. But, yeah, hope he plays through it and keeps going. Brooks Baldwin was my really only recommendation on the hitting side. Do got to give a shout-out as we head to the mound to your boy, Martin Perez.
That's all I'm gonna say.
The 30th year in a row just pops back up into our lives in August.
It's the Undertaker and is dominant every
for
time.
Like a month, but then he dies again. But like he's back for now, and he gets Detroit on Friday, I believe, this coming week. So that's absolutely a start. I think he had like a one hitter, 7 innings earlier this week,
right? The Yankees, I believe it was. He was facing, or am I wrong?
I don't know.
It was great. It's a 2-step week. I'm pulling it up now because I have to know because we.
No, his second Martin Perez's second start is against the Yankees.
Yeah,
so his first start was against some other dude.
Royals. Yeah. 7 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 5 Ks. His start before that at Atlanta, 5 1/3, 3 hits, no earned runs, no walks, 5 Ks.
Like he'll never get more than 5 Ks, but like he'll never give up less than 4 hits.
He's allowed 2 earned runs or less in 5 of 6 starts this year.
It's unreal, man. Where does this guy come? Like, what does he do from November through July every year?
Hangs out on the beach, drinks some pina coladas, and then they call him up around June and said, "Hey, you good for 2 months? You're 6 mil." Sounds good.
Hey, man, I'm envious.
Good gig. I'll sign up.
Jesus. Yeah, that's the
one. I got nothing else. Like in deep leagues with the schedule coming up, Mike Tauchman will be in play because he'll be leading off, left-handed bat. So in deep leagues, I could see a little Tauchman action this week if necessary for 7 games of 6 righties on tap.
Yeah, and along the same line, but good week to start Andrew Benintendi if or pick him up if he's available.
He is available out there. So Benny Biceps season is back upon us. All right, Cleveland Guardians, they have 7 games all on the road. 3 at Boston, 3 at Tampa Bay, 3 lefties, 4 righties. Carlos Santana, gone. What do you like here with the Cleveland Guardians?
Not much, yeah. So, like, Santana's gone. I guess they called up, or CJ Cephas is back and playing more, but doesn't really interest me. This lineup,
it's bad.
It's really bad. It's really bad. Like, J-Ram hasn't done much lately. Manzada has cooled down a little. Like, no one's hitting right now.
You stream against these guys.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
And so that's stream against would be Brian Bayo, Garrett Crochet, of course.
Our boy Tole.
That's Tole. Tole. Toll Road. I don't know. Pepio. My guy, Ian Seymour.
Your guy. Your guy. Latex Finest.
Hey, man. They don't come along often, so you got to celebrate the ones.
Is it him and, like, what, Ryan Nelson, or who is it?
No, he went to Oregon. I mean, Joe Saunders went to Tech.
Okay.
I mean, dating myself there, but.
Is that the end of the list?
Joe Mantiply.
Oh, there's the one I'm thinking of. I remember there's one, yes. Yeah.
And then Shane Boz and Drew Rasmussen against Cleveland this week. So I think Bayo, Seymour, Tolley are all good to go there. The other Cleveland thing I have is Parker Messick.
Yeah.
Pitched well again. I think his second start, and Parker Messick would line up for, he's 35% started in NFBC 12 teamers, would get a two-step at Boston and at Tampa next week. So probably a popular ad, Parker Messick coming up with the two-step.
Yep, totally agree with you there. Detroit Tigers, they have six games this week, all at home, three versus the Mets, three versus the White Sox, two lefties and four righties for the Detroit Tigers, who, again, they are a platooning team, but it feels like the good platoon players are already gone.
Yep, agreed. All I've got really for the Tigers is just keep an eye on. I'm not giving up on Parker Meadows, not giving up on the guy. You never know. It could come back in September and do some things. We liked him before the season, and so we should probably still like him now. It's been a lost season with injuries, but Parker Meadows is starting a rehab assignment, so could be up sometime in this week that we're talking about, if not the following week.
Yeah, he's already played a couple games, so there's a chance maybe the end of next week we could see Parker Meadows, which then comes into play. You have Riley Green, you have Wensel Perez, and you have Javi Baez in the outfield. Does he have platoon with Javi Baez? Does that make the most sense?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. And Baez can play other spots. Something like that.
Makes sense to me. Kansas City Royals, they have six games this week, all at home, three versus the Angels, three versus the Twins, one lefty and five righties for the fighting Mount Massey's, who has morning power at best. The other day, it was so funny. What do you like here? Is this, Yaz has earned the right, I think, right about now.
Yeah. Oh, Yaz is definitely, because not only is it five righties, it's bad righties. It's a 12.5% K minus walk for the pitchers going against Kansas City this week. So Mike Yastrzemski for sure. And I don't know, man, I think I'm doing a little mountain climbing this week. Jesus. Let's go. You want to come with me?
No.
No Mount Massey?
Go for it. I'm not going to tell you. Hey, if you're a believer, go.
Michael Massey, I think a conditional 15 team middle infield. I'll bring it back a little bit.
I think I wish I had that sound effect where I had the backup buttons going off. That would have been great.
We don't need to be screwing around with sound effects. No, we don't. At least not yet.
Not yet.
We have other problems.
Yeah, he's back. He's healthy. He plays versus righties. Like, I get all your arguments there. I just haven't seen enough from him this year to get too excited. The guy there's a different guy, though, that I think deserves at least some love. It's not flashy, but Adam Frazier has been playing pretty darn good for the Kansas City Royals. I'll give him that much. If you go back over like the last 2.5-3 weeks, dude's hitting .356 with a home run and 8 RBIs. He's playing well, playing every single day for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, I'm not going to hate on that. Especially, like, I know a lot of leagues I'm seeing right now, their batting average is tough right now, and Adam Frazier is absolutely a batting average source that you can grab, and it's not, to your point, it's not a total zero in counting stats as well so far for Adam Frazier. So I actually don't mind that. Adam Frazier or Michael Massey this week?
Frazier, easy. We need one beer bet?
No.
You want to add it to the list? Not that confident in your guy?
No, I'm not. No?
Yeah, got it. Minnesota Twins, they have seven games this week, four at home versus the White Sox, three at the Royals, one lefty and six righties for the Minnesota Twins. A team that they're not supposed to be hitting well, but they keep doing just enough to be a pain in the butt, Ryan. So what are you liking here?
Really good schedule for the Twins. Get those lefties in the lineup whenever you can. So Cody Clemens, Trevor Larnach, Luke Kuechel. I'll stop there. I won't say James Outman. I don't think. No, he's been bad. But Larnach, Wallner, and Cody Clemens. Clemens qualifies like everywhere. I still have him on a few teams from streaming in previous weeks. Just a really nice schedule outside of Martin Perez, of course, but everything else, the starters going against the Twins this week have an 11% swinging strikeout minus walk, which I think is the lowest of any team. So great schedule for the Twins.
And Brooks Lee still only 68% rostered in 12s. He should be way more rostered than that. He's actually played really good, and he plays third, hits third every day. Like, get him, and there's got to be a spot for him in more than 68% of teams. That's the way I look at it. I did want to mention that now they're going six man with Joe Ryan, Bailey Obert, Simeon Woods Richardson, who just got recalled, Zebby Matthews, Mick Abel, Taj Bradley. Now that could change. That could obviously change. But I wanted to bring it up because they have six in there now. David Festa started a rehab assignment on Thursday. He's expected to make 2 to 3 rehab starts. So the second week in September, Festa should be back in your life, Ryan. So save a couple fab dollars and could make this even worse. But any long story short, outside of Joe Ryan, this is a bad rotation.
Yeah. Mick Abel's been terrible. I know he's young, but like, it's a really bad rotation. David Festa can't save it.
Zebby Matthews, actually looking into him tonight, was actually better than I thought. He had one.
Yeah, you're a hater with him, but he's not bad.
No, he's actually better than I thought. He hasn't gone six. Let's put it that way. He goes 5, 5 1/3 a couple times. But over his last like 5 or 6 outings, almost a 23% K to walk. So he's been very effective in that regard. Just doesn't get deep into the games is the only bugaboo there.
Well, and just getting hammered with luck too. I mean, it's a 5.30 ERA when his ERA estimator is like mid-3s, pitching like a mid-3s guy, and the ERA is over 5. So doesn't help.
I was trying to give him some love for you. Like I said, I dug in. I was like, okay, it's better than I thought. Just needs to get deeper into games. Actually, the skills have started to show.
Him in your fab column.
Isn't he too widely rostered for my fab column?
Zebby?
87%. Yes, that does not meet the criteria of my fab column.
Okay. Didn't think it would be that high. Only 24% started.
Okay. Some people are smart.
That checks out.
Yes, that checks out for sure. All right, let's go to the AL West, the Sacramento Athletics. They have 6 games on the road this week, 3 at St. Louis, 3 at the Angels, 2 lefties and 4 righties. And my God, Nick Kurtz has made Zach Geloff's back, baby. Yep. What else do you got here?
That's all I had on the lineup side was Geloff. I know that's your guy, so I'll let you speak to him. But would you be looking to add Zach Geloff this week? It's all road.
I would. It's not a great schedule, but you just know he'll be in Sacramento the following week. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
You kind of play that game out there. Maybe if you have room to put him on the bench for a dollar and get him the following, that's what you're doing this time of the year. Save every dollar you can. He was starting to swing it very well at AAA. I wrote him up in a recent PT tomorrow when I was like, okay, Jacob Wilson's coming back soon. Geloff's swinging it well. They got to get rid of these old guys. The A's have actually done almost what I predicted, which is amazing because they usually screw all this up with these old guys. They've gotten rid of all the old guys, and they're letting the young guys play, which is great. Geloff's played all 3 games since getting recalled, lefties and righties. Had a big game on Wednesday night. I'm a believer. So like I said, when he first got sent down, it felt like he needed more of a spring training, kind of got rushed up. It seems like he's kind of finding his sea legs. Never going to be a great batting average guy, but power speed is there. He's a 20-20 guy. So I think he could be a nice boost for 4 weeks, especially when 2 of those 4 weeks will be in Sacramento.
What's up with your guy, Brett Harris, on the bench? He's not playing.
Not as productive as Mount Massey as Mount Massey plays. So, yeah, pretty similar skill sets.
Yeah. Brett Harris. He's there with J.J. Bleday not playing.
Dude, Brett Harris is good in AAA, too. That's what's frustrating.
Here we go. No, a Geloff point makes sense. And even it totally makes even more sense to, add him now for the all-home week next week if that keeps the fab price down.
Yep. So have fun with that. Pitching-wise, Jacob Lopez to the IL, probably done for the year. Jack Perkins to the IL. Sean Estes to the IL. Not Sean Estes, that's former Giant. Joey Estes to the IL. Severino should be back next week. Luis Morales has been awesome. So get your Luis Morales shares. Other than that, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's a Luis Morales two-step. He goes, it's on the road at St. Louis. Yeah, exactly. So this is like the ideal week to use Luis Morales, who has a 1.19 ERA, which obviously is great, but not great for the fab price. Pitching more like a mid-threes guy, but still, that will absolutely play. So nice two-step this week for Luis Morales of the A's.
Houston Astros, they have 7 games this week. Must be a rainout redo. They have 1 versus the Angels, 3 versus the Yankees, and then 3 on the road versus the Rangers. It's 4 lefties and 3 righties. They start the week with 3 lefties and 1 righty and finish in Texas with 1-2. So really tough week to stream if you're planning on streaming any Houston Astros.
Yeah, like I've got Jesus Sanchez on a ton of teams and will definitely be benching Jesus for the first half of the week and looking to fab alternatives there. Outside of that, Yordan is back. I guess that's the big news. Not really fab related.
Went deep on Wednesday, scraped the center field wall. I thought it wasn't going to get out for a second. It was pretty fun, but it did. It did nonetheless.
Yep. So, I mean, anyone else you'd add on the hitting side? Like, I kind of want to talk the rotation. Like,
we'll get to the rotation in a second. Yeah, like, if you want to in a deeper league, just because there's 4 lefties, especially the first half, we would give Cam Smith a shot. Sure. He did go deep. He had a decent series this last week. I'm still not a believer, but in a deep league, to stream for the first half of the week, Cam Smith will have a little appeal. He should play 3 out of 4 games if you want to go that direction. All right, pitching. I'll let you start because I got some more nuggets from the news today.
Well, yeah, that's more than I got, so go ahead.
Okay, so this has been a dilemma I've been trying to figure out every Sunday evening as I work on PT tomorrow. Is what are they going to do with all the pieces back? So right now you got Hunter Brown, you got Framber Valdez, you have Jason Alexander, who pitched well again on Thursday. Yeah, Christian Javier, and you have Spencer Arrighetti. Lance McCullers is in the bullpen right now. He might pitch on Monday because it's a 7-game week. That depends. This is all verbiage from the Astros on Thursday. That depends if Luis Garcia comes back on Monday or not. So right now it looks like McCullers is in the pen. And it looks like the Astros may go 6-man rotation or Alexander will be the odd man out. They haven't made that last decision final yet. So that's where it gets tricky. But for now, all signs point to McCullers being the first guy out, which actually surprised me seeing a veteran get the axe first.
Okay. And so Luis Garcia, though, it sounds like he is pretty safe no matter what in the rotation.
Yes, that's the way they made it sound. Like, they're hoping he's back Monday to join the rotation, but maybe it's like Tuesday or something. So that skews things a bit. Then McCullers would pitch on Monday. Luis Garcia should be back in a Houston Astros uniform next week. He's finished all of his rehab. There's really no reason he shouldn't be back out there barring something crazy.
Man, there are a lot of pitching options in Fab this week.
Luis Garcia is not an option, though.
Not an NFBC, but in other formats, he is. So,
and he's a two-step, so yes.
Good exactly, point. Yeah. So, I'm going to have to – I know I'm not since I'll be at a football game, but sit down and prioritize these guys on Sunday.
There's zero chance. It's going to be convicts versus Catholics at the bar after your team probably had a nail biter. I'm just going to be nice. I had a nail biter. Not going to say how it went in the dome.
It'll be a nail biter, but
yeah. No, I don't think so. I was trying
to do it on my phone. Oh, God.
Trying to be nice. They probably have great Wi-Fi in the Mercedes dome. Just get throw that out there. But yeah, it's Luis Garcia. I'm very interested because he looked phenomenal in his rehab. Like, looked real good. He's working on it. The only thing I'm concerned with when I read this today, he's been using a new shorter slot delivery to help with the past injuries.
Yeah,
I always hate hearing that because that's usually when something gets tweaked again.
Yeah,
or all of a sudden the shoulders hurt now because the elbow's not doing whatever, something like that. But yes, to your original point, Luis Garcia should be back to start the week, and then it gets interesting.
Would you put him over, assuming they were all available in whatever leagues we're playing, but would you put Garcia over Bradish, over Tolley, over Morales? Like, there's a lot of options. I don't know.
It's a lot of options. I'd probably have Garcia fourth on that list, even though I think he's still very, very good.
Okay.
I like Bradish. I like Tolley. And I really like Morales. So I'd probably, because I think Bradish is going to go 6-man, so that should push him back a scotch. But Garcia, it might still be 6-man there too. So that's real tricky.
Ian Seymour's in there. There's a lot. There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of interesting, intriguing options this week. That is for sure. We haven't even got to the National League yet to get things going.
I know.
Yeah, keep on. I feel like there's Astros news.
There's another prospect we haven't mentioned yet that will be coming out of Queens.
Yes, so. There are more to come. Buckle up. All right. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they have 7 games this week, 1 at Houston, 3 at the Royals, and 3 at home versus the A's. For now, it's no lefties and 6 righties with one to be determined coming your direction. That'd be the Oakland or the Sacramento A's because they still have not figured out what they're going to do in their rotation. But at least 6 righties on tap for the Angels. Anything of interest for you there?
Not really anything with the lineup. Sounds like Caden Dana is coming up, but has an 8% strikeout minus walk in AAA. Yeah. Not great. So no, I don't have anything on the Angels.
I have nothing either. I do like the idea of Caden Dana in the future. Not right now. Like he was a big prospect, was battling injuries. He's super young. I think there's something there. Maybe like if we're talking DCs next year, but for the rest of the season, I'm not too excited.
Yeah.
Seattle Mariners, they have 6 games next week, all on the road, 3 at Tampa, which is always great. And the 3 at Atlanta, which doesn't really suck that much either. Well, except Chris Sale might be back. 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Seattle Mariners, one of the best teams in the American League.
Yeah, I like the week for Dominic Canzone with the 5 righties. He's back from injury playing right field, so should be able to roll with Canzone. Do you know what's going on with Victor Robles? Like, is he actually going to be suspended or what?
It's the longest appeal process on the face of the planet right now. It's almost like they're going to get you for the postseason. Like, oh, sorry, things came up. I had to negotiate with YouTube TV football season. I don't know what to tell you, but we got time for you now.
But like, so you probably didn't start Victor Robles this week because you're
and he's
about
platooning.
I
top it off.
I know. But you're probably not starting him next week either because, well, terrifying platooning. But he, you know, could be suspended next week. It's weird. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, because Canzone came back from the wrist injury. I have no faith in Victor Robles, and the longer he's not suspended and the longer he's still platooning, I have no desire to pick him up either. Like, it's brutal in all aspects. Yeah.
Yep. So. Biggest thing is the playing time's not there against righties right now for Robles, and so it's tough to start him.
Other than that, I got nothing besides probably bench Bryce Miller for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Texas not Rangers, good. They have 6 games this week, 3 at Arizona, 3 at home versus Houston, all righties on tap for Texas. It is a Jock Jams week, folks.
Yeah, we hinted at Jock Jams, Jock Peterson hitting well lately, so it's a great week for Jock Peterson, who's hitting better, 6 righties, you got to love that. We mentioned Josh H. Smith at the top of the show with the Seager injury, so we'll continue to lead off 6 times. You got to start Josh Smith this week. Is it time to get rowdy? I don't know.
I was wondering that. I don't think so.
No,
the production's not there, but man, it's a great week. If there was ever going to be a week, this was it. I can't stomach it either, unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's all I really have. Like, I'm not trusting Alejandro Osuna, even though he's the strong side of the platoon there. And Josh Smith's 81% roster for granted. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's more a start Josh Smith instead of bench him.
The one guy I would mention if we see him playing more like every day because of these injuries, I am serious about Ezekiel Duran. Dude's swinging it really well. Like we talked about Adam Frazier's batting average skills. Zeke's pretty darn solid as well. Since August 1st, Duran's hitting .365 with 3 stolen bases. There's no power, but 6 runs, 8 RBIs, 3 steals. So he's kind of an Adam Frazier-esque type player if you're looking for something like that. All right. Oh, sorry. What you got?
Real quick, pitching side, your guy, Jacob Latz, is missing bats, getting Ks. Walk rate's kind of rough, but Jacob Latz lines up for a start at the Diamondbacks and a 2-step potentially the week after. So, I don't know. Mention him.
Yeah, no, that's a fair one. I love the swing and strike skills. I thought earlier in the season he was getting some love, that it would be cool if he got even more love. That did not happen. So, maybe this is the ticket with RIP, Nate the Great. All right, let's go to the Atlanta Braves. They have 6 games this week, 3 at the Cubbies, Wrigley Field, 3 at home versus Seattle, 1 lefty and 5 righties. For a Braves team that's swinging it really well, thanks to guys like Jerks and Profar, Ozzie Albies, and others, what do you like here in Atlanta?
Not much. I did want to give a shout out to Jerickson Profar, who kind of quietly might be, outside of Nick Kurtz, like the best fab pickup this year.
Yeah.
Didn't cost you much. 12 homers, 8 steals, 267 for Profar in just 250 plate appearances. Like, he has been kind of quietly really good. And I don't think he costs that much in fab. So kudos to anyone who kind of scooped Profar a week or two before he returned from suspension, because he has been damn good.
Yep, he's been amazing. So, yeah, pretty good all-around stuff there. Pitching rotation, don't go pick up Cal Quantrill. That was another just disaster. It's a rough go out there these days. I will say Joey Wentz, not in love with him, but he's got the Cubs this week, which I don't love. Oh, because they got Sale coming back. They're going to go 6-man. Never mind. Don't go get Joey Wentz. Because that is one thing that the Braves came out and said today, that in the month, like the next 4 weeks, they have an off day every Thursday, so they will not need to go with a two-step at all. So they're going to keep their regular rotation and be just fine. So keep that in mind as well. Miami Marlins, they have 6 games, 3 at Washington, 3 at home versus Philadelphia, 4 lefties and 2 righties to face the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I've got Connor Norby as a potential pickup. He's coming back, I believe, on Friday.
Yep.
It's Maximo Acosta guy. Hit a couple home runs this week. Just
Maximo Don Costa.
Yeah, just
all he does. That's all he does. As long as he strike out, it's all he does.
Yeah, so whatever. That's all I got on the hitting side. Pitching side, another potential pitcher to add, stash. I don't know, but Ryan Weathers is on the mend.
You got another week and a half, but yeah, he's coming back.
So you might only get like 3 starts out of Ryan Weathers, and maybe it's a next week pickup type deal because there are other good pitching options on the wire this week. But don't forget about Ryan Weathers making a rehab start on Saturday through 3 innings in his most recent one. So he's on his way back.
Yep, that's a good call on Ryan Weathers, and the good doctor's getting saves if you want to play that game.
Yeah, Dr. Foucher, I think the last two... Yeah, the last 2 saves Calvin Fauché has gotten, which just means next week he won't get anything. So
exactly. That's why to stay away. Yep. You just either play him every week or you just stay out of the game. One of the two.
Yep.
New York Mets, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Detroit, 3 at Cincinnati and Great American, 1 lefty and 5 righties for a team that was wildly popular in Fab this last week with Vientos, Beatty, McNeil, who else? So what else do you have here? Because I'm guessing most of them have been picked up. No, yeah, Beatty's up to 81%.
Yeah.
McNeil's up to 58%, so that's not bad. And
well, plus it's Jeff McNeil, but
he's been playing really well though. Vientos up to 97%. So yeah, McNeil's the only one that's under the 60% threshold.
Yep. Can't really add much on the hitting side. We talk about Jonah Dong.
Yeah.
Making his debut on Friday as well. Jeez. I mean, numbers just completely jump off the page. Similar to Tolley, 2 starts in AAA, fast riser. Jonah Tong, I think the question with Jonah Tong is not only, I think the skills are good, but he's such a fast riser, you don't know for sure. But yeah, like he looks incredible. Do we think Jonah Tong stays in the rotation going forward? That's what you need to kind of think about if you're fabbing Jonah Tong.
Yeah, your boy Clay Holmes got lit up again.
He's got to go back to the pen, man.
I don't know what they're waiting for. I have zero clue what they're waiting for. But
right now, the Mets do have 5 starters. McGill's coming back, and Tong is there. So they have to do something, I think.
I agree. We'll have to wait and see and get more words there. But if Tong sticks around, definitely worth a pickup going forward.
I mean, up there with Tolley, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, how do
they're
you?
They're
both like this, similar dudes, seems like.
Very much so. It's pretty much which one's going to get stuck in the rotation longer, gets the extra little cushion, is what I would say. Philadelphia Phillies, they have 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at Miami, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Philadelphia Phillies, who Schwarbaum's hit 4 of them on Thursday evening. Just ungodly production there. But not a whole lot else that gets me in the fab tingles here.
Yeah, not really. Harrison Bader is playing every day, does have 14 home runs and 10 steals this season. in a partial season. So if you need, if you're desperate for outfield help, Harrison Bader is playing and playing kind of well. I know he's hitting seventh, eighth, ninth, whatever, but you're going to in this lineup. So I don't know. Just throw Harrison Bader out there as a kind of cheap outfield conditional if you need somebody.
I like that call quite a bit, actually, because he is playing every day and can do a little bit of everything for you. Other than that, I don't have much. This rotation's pretty much locked in without Wheeler. Duran's closing. I got nothing with Philadelphia.
Yeah, Nola's locked in, so we're good.
Washington Nationals. I'll be nice tonight. They have six games this week, three against the Marlins, three at the Cubbies, one of the best hitting matchups of the week. There's a better one, but this is one of the best ones. One lefty and five righties for the Nats.
Yeah, good Luis Garcia week, good Josh Bell week. I don't know if you want to go Dalen Lyle. I had been hyping Paul DeJong recently.
He's cooled down.
He has cooled down and to the point where he's not starting either. So apologies on that one. Probably missed Paul DeJong's best week and fabbed him and got nothing, which I did in labor. So whatever. But that's, I don't know. I don't have much on the Nats.
I will say over the last 2 weeks, Dalen Lyle, 313, one home run, three stolen bases, striking out 9.4% of the time. So
I like that.
I can definitely see a world with this upcoming schedule where Dalen Lyle is weirdly a good option.
Yep.
Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week, three at Atlanta, three at home versus Atlanta, three at home versus the Nationals, so all in Wrigley. Two lefties and four righties for the Cubbies. I'll let you go. What do you have for the hitting side of things?
Nothing. I don't have anything. I don't even have Javier Assad, but I probably should.
Yeah, I have nothing. This team is rinse and repeat almost every day on the Diamonds.
Yep.
Cincinnati Reds, they have six games, all at Great American this week. Three against Toronto, three against the Mets, two lefties, four righties. For the Red Legs, Miguel Andujar's cooled down a bit, but still somewhat productive.
Somewhat productive. I'm looking up Austin Hayes. He's 93% in 12 teamers. So
Miguel Andujar's 83%. Good Lord.
Interesting. Given all that, Matt McClain starting to play second base again regularly. So maybe there's a shot at redemption there. And in all home week, you could look at Matt McClain, though I feel like he's probably over-rostered. 84% rostered. God, that's high.
You see, so, Miguel Andujar has actually been sitting versus righties lately.
I have. It's not great. Barely been playing.
Wow. Yeah, he's not even playing anymore. That's wild.
But
this is a full tilt team. That's what they're doing to you. So yeah, I got the only one I'd say is Cabrian Hayes keeps hitting.
Yeah,
hit for average. Not doing much else, but he's hitting for average. He's stealing some bags, and he's 7% rostered.
Yep, I like that. So,
full week at Great American. I think Cabrian Hayes is a definite stream going forward here. I got nothing on the mound. You got anything for the pitching side of things?
No. Is Chase Burns still?
No update yet. Update that I've heard of recently.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon is the best I can tell you.
Latest RotoWire from August 28th, earlier today. Bullpen session Saturday, so that's not great. Yeah.
No, so that means still a ways out.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, three at home versus Philly, three at Pittsburgh, one lefty and five righties for the Brew Crew. I really don't have a ton here.
No, they are kind of a set and forget lineup. We talked about the Trevor McGill news at the top, so I think we decided, if you've got McGill, you still need saves. I think it's fine to drop McGill and go for Abner Uribe, but that's probably the one big fab move for out of Milwaukee this week.
Yep, that's about all I have for you there as well. The Pittsburgh Pirates, six games at home, three versus the Dodgers, three versus the Brewers, one lefty, five righties. Just pray.
Yeah, just pray. It's a tough schedule for the Pirates. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you do anything here, honestly.
Nope. The only thing I'll mention is Braxton Ashcraft is throwing well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. He threw 5 2/3, one earned, 5 Ks against a struggling Cardinals team on Thursday. It's zero runs, one run. He's been very effective. So I'm not sure you want to throw him this week, per se, as he gets to face, as I pull it
the
up
Dodgers.
Here,
Dodgers. Yeah,
and Dodgers don't throw that beaters right now.
I know, but
you don't do it. But he gets at Baltimore and at Washington the next week. So if you want to slide him across for cheap this week, that's not a bad two-step.
That could be a good buck or two type move where most people see the one start against the Dodgers, but then you might get two the following week. So,
like if you would have done that with Luis Morales this week, you'd be feeling good about yourself. So yep. Braxton Ashcraft, I'd look ahead for his two-step next week. St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games all at home this week. Three versus the A's, three versus the Giants, two lefties, four righties. The best hitting matchup of the week. And the Cardinals need it, Ryan, because you thought the Guardians are hitting bad right now. Cardinals are really bad.
Yeah, they are brutal. They are in a complete tailspin right now. Can't believe Wilson Contreras' suspension was six games. It seemed a bit much, but
and Victor Robles only got 10 for throwing a bat at a pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jordan Walker homered today. I still like Jordan Walker. He's starting to play again, so that's a. I don't know. I guess I'll never give up on Jordan Walker, but you could look at him as a very cheap outfield ad now that he's playing again. But yeah, this is a bad lineup right now, and it doesn't look to be getting much better.
Does not look to be getting much better. Pitching side of things still kind of murky overall as well. So yeah, I kind of avoid for the most part. And one thing we like to talk about with like Cleveland and some others, Morales, we said, is a good stream. If Severino's out there returns, he's a good stream. Springs. These are guys you want to pitch against the Cardinals. Heck, Verlander might actually be in play this week, but that's terrifying to think about. Arizona Diamondbacks. They have six games this week. All at home, three versus Texas, three versus Boston, two lefties and four righties. Another favorable week for the D-backs as well, a Paven Smithless D-backs.
Right, yeah. So we talked Paven Smith at the top. Maybe some more run for Tyler Locklear, but I don't know if he's doing much for you fantasy-wise. Blaze Alexander continues to play third base every day. I'm still on Jordan Lawler watch. I think once Lawler gets called back up, it will be at third base and Blaze will move somewhere else. But Alexander still, he hit well on Thursday. He's still holding his own. Doesn't really mean I'm super high on him going forward, but it's a nice schedule for Arizona this week. 12% K minus walk for the starters going against them. So I could see rolling with Blaze for another week.
Blaze it up, boys and girls. I'm with you. That could be a strong one. I still have a couple shares, got rid of a few recently as well, but have another nice week, so I have no problem going there that route if you want. Other than that, I mentioned Nabil Chrismat. I could see a world, especially in deeper leagues, where he's serviceable. He gets Texas this week. That offense we just talked is kind of dwindling. Then we'll have to see from there. Like they have Anthony DeSclafani coming back into the rotation, which would be hilarious because Chrismat's actually pitching well. But if you want a dollar stream for the week, Chrismat's not the worst option.
I had a friend in high school named Nabil. He's a good dude.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
He turned out to be a dentist. Like he's a good dude.
I'm not saying anything else. Colorado Rockies, they have six games this week, all at home in Coors Field, three against the Giants, three against the Padres, two lefties and four righties for the Colorado Rockies, a team that is still not a great offense, but is actually hitting better over the last month.
Hitting a little bit better over the last month. It's a good Mickey Moniak spot. Tyler Freeman's still leading off, so you like that. Jordan Beck's been super cold lately. That's not great, so this is hopefully a get-right week for Jordan Beck. But, yeah, we've talked about the Brenton Doyle resurgence in the second half. Widely rostered and everything, but just like to see it. I don't have much in terms of fab ads, though. Like, unless Moniak's available, people dropping Beck, I don't know.
Beck is widely rostered.
He's 99% still. Yeah.
Moniak, he's down to 82, so a few drops have taken place, but yeah, not a lot there when it comes to Colorado. Dodgers, they're on the road for six, three at Pittsburgh, three at Baltimore, one lefty and five righties for, yeah, Dodgers seems pretty widely rostered.
Pretty locked in, widely rostered. You see Freddie Freeman had another body part fail him this week.
Yeah, it's been good times for Frederick.
Hey, through it all, though. It's better still than good. I expected.
Yep. Conforto's playing every day. Still not going to do it, but yeah, it's a rough go. They got the six-man rotation going right now. It's just Tanner Scott's back, but he's widely rostered. So yeah, I got nothing with the Dodgers. They've been pretty locked and keyed
Yeah, and Scott came back and got a save already, so that's good to see. He'll at least have the majority share there. But yeah, I don't have anything else.
Agreed. San Diego Padres, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Baltimore, 3 at the Colorado Rockies, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the San Diego Padres. Ryan O'Hearn keeps playing every day. Gavin Sheets is playing every day right now with Jackson Merrill on the IL. Still no timetable for Merrill. They're hoping for next week, but nothing is official yet, Ryan. So do we claim the Sheets one last time?
I think we try and do it. Yeah, with 5 righties and with playing time and hitting 6th, and you get a Coors. Yeah, exactly. I like that quite a bit, actually.
And I'll keep promoting Freddie Firmino as a catcher, too.
Of course you will. Of course you did.
The dude hits for average, plays every day. Like, pretty much for a catcher, plays every day. Like, I'll take that all day long.
And I will victory lap Ramon Laureano as well.
Dude, he's been a beast. Good Absolute God. Amazing.
Grand so slam on Wednesday, I think, against the Mariners.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Absolutely awesome. Michael King might actually be he's going to miss his start early next week, but he might return towards the end of next week. That's kind of the goal for the San Diego Padres, so keep that in mind as well. Last but not least, the San Francisco Giants, who also have one of the better hitting schedules this week. All on the road, 3 in Coors, 3 at St. Louis, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Giants. It's a big boy week here, Ryan. Anything standing out to you before I get goofy?
I'll let you get goofy. I'll just say Ryan Walker.
Yeah.
Good closer ad this week if still available. And then Luis Matos playing every day, playing well. So I'll that'll be my intro and you take it from there.
Yeah. Luis Matos is a dude that he's playing every day. I like to keep that string going, hopefully. Hoping for, this could be a Dom Smith week with 5 righties and the upside in Coors Field. Just want to throw that out there with Dom Smith. It's ugly. You don't think it's flashy, but he did like a 17 game hitting streak for a while there. He's been quietly doing well for the Giants. There's not a ton of pop. That's one thing. So it's a deep league only play, but since August 1st, 294, 1 homer, 11 RBIs and a steal. So in a deep format, Dom Smith is alive.
Okay. He's alive.
But yeah, other than that, I don't got much else when it comes to that situation.
Okay.
All right. Any final thoughts as we went team by team, 30 teams for the upcoming week 24 Feb?
No, like I said, so I think there's 2 good closer ads. Forget already who the second one is, but Ryan Walker, one.
Abner Uribe.
Yes, Abner Uribe. There we go. Thank you. And I think, again, a ton of good pitching ads this week. Yep. Some decent left-handed hitting streamers that we talked about who get a bunch of right-handed weeks. So it's actually like a pretty – it's going to be a lively week of Fab, I think, for September.
Yeah, especially with it being one of the last. Especially with
2 prospects. Like, yeah, exactly. And I don't know, with Tong and Tolley, like – that could be fireworks this weekend.
Let me check something real quick.
I just wish I was around to.
Oh, you're gonna have your own fireworks, buddy. You're gonna have your own in between your ears. Don't you worry about that. All right, let's look at the 2 steps for the weeks and see what we really need to get doing here. Ryan Nelson versus Texas versus Boston.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
He's been actually pretty darn good. And he's 95% rostered down 12s. That's impressive. I would do it as well. Great.
Yep.
We already said yes to Luis Morales at St. Louis at the Angels. That's a good one. Brian Bello versus Cleveland at Arizona.
I mean, I will always say no for Bello, but Cleveland starts great. Arizona's not really hitting right now. So, yes, I will do Bello.
Dude's got a 2.99 ERA. It's insane.
I talk about facade. Like, Jesus.
It is.
I mean, he's not even good. I don't think. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But
Colin Ray versus Atlanta versus Washington.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not either. Hunter Green, yes. Messick, we said yes already. Slade Ciccone at Boston at Tampa. No.
I could see it in 15s, but no. It generally would lean elsewhere.
I'm out. Chase Dolander at home versus the Giants and the Padres. No.
Hell no. Double no.
Dude has insane reverse splits, though. So the following week, he gets San Diego. Not sure I love that, but just go look at his stats. His road splits are much more streamable.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean that just to you, present to the listeners. Like, go look at his road stats. Very, very interesting stuff with Chase Dolander. White Sox, Aaron Civale, not really Cy anymore, at Minnesota, at Detroit.
Dude, it's actually not that bad. No, I don't think I'm doing it.
Yeah, we're not doing Davis Martin either. Chucky Morton versus the Mets versus the White Sox. Yes.
Yeah.
In a 15 for sure.
Yeah, I've been a little shaky lately, but yeah, I think you do that.
If you are able to pick up Luis Garcia, and if he pitches on Monday, do you take him versus the Angels and at Texas for a two-step off the IL?
So it's easy for me to say, yeah, you do. But like, if you're adding Garcia, are you passing up adding Tong, Tolley, Bradish, you know, Luis Morales? That's really tough. I think I would do Garcia over those guys.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting the week out just to see what he's got. But I get it. If you pick them up, you're going to use them.
Yeah.
Michael Lorenzen versus the Angels versus Minnesota. Oh,
Jesus.
Good matchups, but
it's really good matchups. And actually, Michael Lorenzen, it's one of the best skills of his career.
Yep.
Still, it's a low bar. It's not saying much, but I can't believe I'm about to say this. Yes, I would start Michael Lorenzen in 15 teamers for sure this week.
Yep. 15 teamers, yes. 12 if you need wins. I'll say that. Angels, you say, we say, y'all say Kikuchi at Houston versus the A's.
Always.
All right. Caden Dana, no.
No.
Ryan Gusto at Washington versus Philly. He's been so bad.
He's been so bad.
Yeah, that's a no, dog.
He's been really good, like, in certain spots, too, but lately, Christ. No, you're not doing Ryan Gusto.
The Miz is back. First Philly at Pittsburgh. Yep.
Also don't know what you're going to get, but the baseline is much higher. Yeah. Yes.
Bailey Ober versus the White Sox at Kansas City.
That's actually appealing.
No.
I would in 15s.
Yeah, I'm so over. It's unbelievable. Max Fried at Houston versus Toronto.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, tough schedule, but yeah. He's looked better a little bit lately.
Taijuan Walker at Milwaukee at Miami. Ooh, that Miami starts nice. And he's been decent. It's no strikeouts.
No, I'm not. No, dude. It's Taijuan Walker. You kidding me?
It's funny compared to some other names you mentioned. Mike Burrows versus the Dodgers.
Is that Ober or Taijuan Walker this week?
Taijuan Walker. I want nothing to do with Bailey Ober. I want nothing to do with Bailey Ober.
All right. Move on.
Burrows versus the Dodgers versus Milwaukee.
No, that's tough. Burrow's been decent, but that's zero win potential and just tough matchups.
Yeah, I'm out too. He's been good streaming, but like the following week he goes against the Nationals. You can stream him in that start.
Yes.
San Diego, you got Dylan Cease. You're doing it, even though it's been so annoying. Versus Baltimore at Colorado, you're still doing it. Yep. Luis Castillo, you're still doing it. Carson Wisenhunt at Colorado at St. Louis. God.
The Wiz.
I can't.
No, I can't do that either. Even though it's great matchups, Wisenhunt needs to at least show me something.
Exactly. That's the thing. He's got to show something more than just a couple innings here, and they're not going to need a full couple starts out of him. Sonny Gray's, yes. Shane Boz versus Seattle versus Cleveland, yeah.
Yep, I would do it.
Drew Rasmussen, you're doing. Patrick Corbin at Arizona versus Houston. Corbin looks so good his last start.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's just ridiculous.
And I can't do this two-step and with a straight face.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
It's got to be a big-time 15-team league where you can take some gambles for some potential wins. I don't even know if the win upside is that big.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Mackenzie Gore versus Miami at Chicago. You're doing it, but goddamn.
How has Gore been lately? Is he back a little bit? It's a good set of matchups.
Up and down.
You don't know what you're going to get, but the matchups are decent. Yeah, you're doing Gore.
Starting them. Just for the listeners out there, just in case, if Di Sclafani's back, he's a two-step the following week. Don't care. But Luis Severino would be a two-step the following week at home, so keep that in mind. But he would be in play. It's a couple of potential streamers. Logan Allen, he gets Kansas City on the White Sox. Great stream if you want to get him now for the following week.
Oh, okay. I was like, what in the hell are you talking about?
No, I'm just trying to give a look at like, I got dollar, yep. for those dollar ads. Like, I don't want Freeland. I don't want Gomez. Because the Ashcraft thing got my head. Burgert's been throwing really well for Kansas City. He gets Cleveland and Philadelphia the following week, if that interests you. Other than that, Jose Quintana's been decent, if you want that. Like, I'm grasping at straws right now. There's not a whole, like, but there's the Ashcraft one. That stands out so much. At Baltimore, at Washington, like, I want that Braxton Ashcraft share this week for a buck.
Yep.
So that's why I wanted to go through this exercise. As we get deep in the season and funds are low, you need to find a way to get some cheapies. Like, Adrian Hauser's at the White Sox and at the Cubs. That's deep, deep league only. But Ashcraft, that's the takeaway from all that.
For a buck, bench him this week, start him next week.
Yep. All right, that'll do it. Another one in the books, week 24. Fabs got three more weeks after this. We'll see if you make it back for Tuesday's show. But any final thoughts as you're going to test your, for the first time, test your 40-year-old liver to its full level?
No final thoughts. Go Hokies. And good luck in Fab this week. I gotta go to sleep. I gotta get up soon.
All right. Well, we'll see where Ryan is and how he's doing next week on the show. If you guys have any questions, though, make sure to hit him up on Twitter at RyanBHQ. He'll be sure to give you the first top-notch answers he can come up with. You can also follow the show on Twitter at BubbaBloomPod and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDentric. Hope you all have a great weekend, a safe weekend, a holiday weekend. We'll be back with you guys next time. Bubba and the Bloom, episode 272. Catch y'all later.